Please take your seats. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, that's page 581. This is the passage that Jim read for us. We'll be very narrowly focused this morning on this one verse. We first encounter it in Psalm 95, and then here in Hebrews 3, 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We find it again in chapter 3, verse 15, a little bit shorter version of it there. As it is said, because it was said back in Psalms, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And then we find it one more time in chapter 4, verse 7. He appoints a certain day today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, and this one's even a little shorter, just the heart of the thing. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we now stand before you, and we are here together, a group of people, and we want to hear from you. You promised that when we gather in your name, you will be here in our midst, speaking to us by your Spirit through your word. And so we believe this to be true. So come and speak to us. Give us open ears and ready hearts. And this is all beyond us. And so come do what we cannot do in and of ourselves by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we considered the theme, God speaks through an ancient word. In other words, God uses his word from long ago to speak again and again to new people in new places at different times. God speaks through an ancient word. Shouldn't be a surprise, because if the eternal God speaks, wouldn't you expect his word to be durable? A word that doesn't become obsolescent or irrelevant. It is an eternal word. So though the word was spoken so long ago, that word is still true and relevant in 2017. No, we're so accustomed to thinking about the importance of the latest, monitoring trends, watching for what is on the cusp of change. Only the new, the current, is significant. All else is so yesterday, so passé. Well, this is true from the human viewpoint because we are learning. Our knowledge is incomplete. Not true from God's viewpoint. God is not learning. God already knows all things perfectly. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God says, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. So the God who knows all things, the eternal God who does not change, can speak today through words and people and incidents from long ago with fresh and deep insight, with amazingly personal relevance, and with the authority and urgency of the Godhood to you today. Now, this is really important because that's why we use the Bible. These are God's ancient words. And we go to the Bible and we preach from the Bible. And this is when we preach the Word of God. We don't preach from newspapers or the latest research or homespun wisdom, because this is the Word of God. Always true, always relevant, always for you and for me. Well, last time we looked at Psalm 95, last half of Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11, which is this passage quoted here in Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. And there we saw that in Psalm 95, David looks back 500 years before to a situation when Israel, the nation of Israel, was wandering in the wilderness and they found themselves at Rephidim in the wilderness without water. And they were grumbling against Moses, and because Moses represented God, against God, because they were thirsty in the desert. And David says what God did and said then in the wilderness, 500 years before, was a message to the Israelites of his day. Today, if you hear his voice from long ago, do not harden your hearts like Israel did in the wilderness. Don't respond like they did. But today, as God speaks to you through the words and the situation from 500 years before, listen and respond appropriately. And then we turn from Psalm 95 to this passage, Hebrews 3, in which we encounter these words, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. Not as the Holy Spirit said long ago, but the Holy Spirit says today, and as a matter of fact, that is what he says, today, if you hear his voice. And so this incident from 1,500 years before, quoted by David 1,000 years before, now the writer of Hebrews writes down and sends in this letter, and he says the Holy Spirit is speaking, and he says to you who read this letter today, if you hear his voice. So God speaks today through ancient words, and you need to respond today. If you would hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. As Philip Edgecombe Hughes says, the message of the Scripture is the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is alive and speaking in that day, used ancient words to speak a contemporary message to people then. And here we are today, 2,000 years later. And we read this letter, and the same Holy Spirit is alive and active in speaking. And therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, August 2017, today, if you hear his voice, don't respond like the Israelites did back in the wilderness. Don't harden your hearts. But believe that God is true, that God cares for you. Believe the words that I speak to you. So God speaks through an ancient word. Well, that was 2 weeks ago. But then we didn't really get into what the message was that the Holy Spirit was speaking. And today we want to focus very narrowly on that message that's repeated three times here in Hebrews 3 and 4, quoted from Psalm 95. Must be important. We get it four times in the Scriptures. We want to focus very narrowly on that message, a message of opportunity, a message of responsibility, and a message of urgency. First of all, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, is a message of opportunity, if you hear his voice. In other words, God is speaking his voice. He's speaking to you if you hear his voice speaking through ancient words. God spoke to the Israelites in the wilderness 3,500 years ago in that incident. He spoke to the Israelites in the wilderness by his works. He had rescued them from Egypt by great miracles, the 10 plagues. For example, the Nile River, which is the source of water for irrigation for the land of Egypt. And still today, if you're on the Nile River and You look out, it's green there, and you look up and it's brown desert beyond that. The Nile River is the source of water and life for the land of Egypt. Not about rain, that's for sure. It's about the Nile River. And so God, through Moses, takes the Nile River, source of water, worshipped as a god, turns it to blood. Impact on the nation of Israel, on the nation of Egypt. Message to Israel that God is powerful. And there's a series of other great miracles. He covers the land with frogs. He fills the air with gnats. He fills the air with flies. The land is blanketed with darkness, a darkness that could be felt so that no one stood up or moved from where they were for 3 days. And then finally, the last miracle, every firstborn of every family, human or animal, dies in the land of Egypt. God is powerful, way more powerful than the gods of Egypt. Through these works, God said that God is more powerful than the Egyptian nation that had enslaved them. And those works said that God cares about them, his people, so much that he will intervene with this long string of supernatural miracles to deliver them out of the slavery in which they had been ensconced for these many, many years. God spoke to the Israelites through other works as well. He made a highway of dry land through the Red Sea for them to escape from the Egyptian army that was pursuing them, and yet used that same Red Sea to come down and drown their enemies when they pursued them. A great miracle. And this work said that God is, again, powerful, and God won't let his Israel be destroyed by their enemies. God spoke to the Israelites in the wilderness by his works. Every day he fed them with manna, bread from heaven. And when they were thirsty, he supplied water for them miraculously. What was God saying? Again, God is powerful, and God will supply the needs of his people. He won't let them go hungry. He won't let them go thirsty. God was speaking through his wonderful works. And God spoke to the Israelites as well in the wilderness through Moses. Because when they're saying, "Where is water for us to drink?" he said, "Why do you quarrel with me? And why do you test the Lord?" In other words, look at what you're doing. Look at what you're saying. Remember, this is the God who's delivered you again and again and again, who supplies you with everything you need. Your God is unlimited in his power. Your God has demonstrated his care for you. And what are you quarreling about? And why are you testing the Lord? You should know better than this. They don't listen. They don't listen. Because their hearts were hardened. And so God spoke again. So he speaks to them at that time. 500 years later, God speaks through David to the Israelites of his day in Psalm 95. And he says, "Don't be like the Israelites in the wilderness who went astray in their hearts, even though they had seen God's work." Right? We just talked about the works of God. They'd seen God's work, but in their heart, they wouldn't believe that God could or God would deliver and take care of them. He says, "Don't be like them today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And so God spoke again 1,000 years after this in Hebrews 3:7. The message hasn't changed. The writer quotes it verbatim, but the Holy Spirit says it fresh and real, as the Holy Spirit says today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And today, in August 2017, God is not silent. He's not shut down. He is still here and he still speaks. And he speaks to you today through these words. No surprises, for God does not change and God's message does not change. We're still human. He's still God. It still fits exactly who we are and where you are. And I want to ask you, even before you came in here this morning, has God been speaking to you? I don't know. Is today's text just one more message in the conversation that God has been holding with you? What is he saying to you? What does he want you to know? What does he want you to do? I suspect God is speaking to some of you, and that is why he brought you here today. God is speaking today if you hear his voice. Well, if you hear, he's speaking, but do you hear? This is a word of opportunity for you, since God is speaking to you. But it's only an opportunity if you will hear his voice. Because even though God speaks, people don't always hear him. God is speaking, but are you hearing? Paul in Acts 28:26 quotes Isaiah the prophet, and he says, "Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive." In other words, there's such a thing as hearing God's word, but it doesn't connect. It doesn't make sense. You can't put it together. Or Luke chapter 8, verse 10. And when Jesus was giving the parable of the sower, he says, "So that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." In other words, God can be speaking, but you not get it. You don't really hear. Even though God speaks, you may not hear. Now, God does speak, and it's hearable, and it's comprehensible, and it makes sense. But even though the people may hear it, it may not make sense to them. It might as well be in Swahili. It might as well be the screeching of brakes or the sounding of a horn. Makes no sense, means nothing if they cannot hear. Israel in the wilderness saw God's mighty works. You didn't have to guess if God was more powerful than the Egyptian nation. You didn't have to guess if God was more powerful than the laws of nature, as the Red Sea interrupts itself and creates a dry highway, and God gives bread from heaven. You don't have to wonder if God's powerful and if God cares. But even though they saw it, they went astray in their hearts, not believing. They didn't grasp God's power. They didn't believe God's care. "Moses, why'd you bring us here? Why are we thirsty?" It was only days before that God had miraculously provided water in the wilderness. They were putting God to the test, although actually God was testing them. Will you believe? Well, okay. So where are you? So God is speaking through his word. Through this message, God is speaking. And I think that maybe for some of you, God has been speaking to you again and again in various ways in your life. Well, do you hear him? Do you understand what he's saying? Do you understand what he's communicating to you? Do you understand what he's calling you to do today if you hear his voice? The opportunity is if you will tune in and hear his voice. If the living and eternal God is speaking to you and you hear his voice and understand it, then this is a time of unparalleled opportunity for you. A message of opportunity. But secondly, a message of responsibility. Responsibility. Do not harden your heart. So the question is, how will you respond to God's speaking to you? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what really matters. You see, even when God himself speaks to men, they do not all respond in the same way to that word from God. Let's look at the parable of the sower for a moment. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, found on page 504 in the Bibles from back. I'll just read these verses 4 through 8. This is a story that Jesus told to communicate an important message about how what's going on in people when they hear God's word. Luke 8:4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So basic, and then he goes on and explains the parable. We won't read that. You can read that later if you like. Essentially what happens is a farmer, and he's out sowing seed. The seed falls in four different places. Now the seed represents the word of God in the parable. And so he sows some of the seed. Some of it falls right on the path. And before it can ever take root or, the word escapes me, but germinate. I was going to say hibernate. Seeds don't hibernate. Before it germinates, birds come along and say, "Ah, seeds, yummy, here we go." And they eat it and they go off. It never brings forth anything. Some of the seed, it says, falls on the rock. And it grows up quickly because there's not a bunch of roots to go down. It gets a little rain, a little sun. It grows quickly, but there's no root structure. It has no act, and so the sun comes up, and it just wilts, it dies, turns brown. Other seed, well, it falls among thorns, and it germinates, comes up, starts growing, the thorns grow faster. It's coming up here, and the thorns are bigger, and the thorns rob it of the sun, because they're shading it, and the thorns have better root structures, and they rob it of the water, so it eventually it dies. It competes. But the thorns win the race, and those plants die. And in the fourth case, some of the seed does what seed should do. It falls into good soil, and it grows up, and it yields. I mean, so we got tomatoes and cucumbers cranking in our garden. I mean, you go out there, we bring back baskets full, and we give them away, and it's very fruitful, a hundredfold, just like those seeds. Well, so there is a meaning to this, and the point is, it's the same seed in each of those situations. And the soil kind of represents our hearts when we receive the word of God. But depending on the condition of the heart and how we respond to the seed that was planted makes all the difference as to the outcome of the situation. Some hear God's word, but the devil comes, like the birds of the air, the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. They're distracted. They're indifferent. An opportunity for their favorite sin comes, so before they can digest the word that was said, they're off sinning, and the word's gone. It is. They have no memory of what they heard before there can ever be a chance for God to do something with that word in their hearts. And some hear God and say, "Ah, this is what I've always been looking for. I'm so excited. Here's the truth." And it is. But it doesn't last. When times get tough and they have to give up something for God or pay a price to be a Christian or face ridicule, they just pack it up and quit the Christian thing altogether. Others hear God and they are happy to hear, And they're going along, but then they get worried about the bills. Or they're having too much fun with their friends. Or money grabs their heart. Or their heart grabs money. Or their heart grabs success. Or they get focused on grades. Or they're all about the women or the guys. And it competes for the bandwidth of their heart. And just the Christian thing gets forgotten over time because this other is growing up and consuming their attention. And so the seed of the Word of God fell, but we don't get there. The thorns win the race. And then some receive the Word of God and they believe it for dear life. And God begins a process of radical change and fruitfulness in their lives. Life changes in ways that they would have never thought possible. Well, the point is that even when God himself is speaking to us, I mean, the seed is the Word of God. The seed, it's the same seed. Even when God himself is speaking to us, we do not all respond to the Word in the same way. How I respond to God speaking, it makes all the difference to me. To my life, to my future destiny. And that is my responsibility. How am I going to respond to what God says? What are you going to do with the Word of God today if you hear his voice? Do not harden your hearts. Well, the question comes to you today, here. How will you respond to God speaking to you? And go back to Hebrews with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. The problem that he's warning them against is unbelief. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. The problem is unbelief, not believing that God is true, not believing that God is real, not believing that God is more powerful than what threatens me, not believing that God cares. Not believing that God will keep his promises. Not believing that God can make me happier than my sins can. We see the same thing in verse 19. The issue is unbelief. So we see that they were unable to enter. That is, they were unable to enter the rest that the land of Canaan promised. They were unable to enter the promised land. God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So the entire generation died. It was only their children that went into the rest that Canaan provided. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. That God could and that God would do what he said. Same thing is emphasized in chapter 4 and verse 2. For good news came to us, just as to them, the Israelites. But the message they heard, the message that the Israelites heard, did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So they got this message from God. Same thing we're saying, right? Just in different words. The message that they heard didn't do them any good. They got no benefit from it. It's like the seeds that don't germinate, the seeds that don't grow up and produce fruit. The message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who heard. They needed to take the word and believe it. They needed to mix faith with the word of God that came to them. And then you got something going. The issue is unbelief. And the problem with unbelief, back to verse 12, the problem with unbelief is where it takes you. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. It begins a process, a downward slide. You know, you get on the slide on the playground, and you jump on it, and you go down faster, faster, faster. Especially if it's a big one. Or maybe you're coming down a steep mountain, and it's kind of gravelly, and you lose your footing, and you start to slide, and it accelerates. That's what we're talking about here. Be careful of unbelief, because it can lead you to fall away from the living God. It's a loosening of your grip on God. Faith hangs on to God. Back to the playground, hanging on to the monkey bars, and your feet are dangling. Feels good. You feel in charge, but you stay there long enough, you kind of lose your grip, and you let go, and you go down, falling away from the living God. Take care, brothers, that doesn't happen to you. Take care, my friend, that you, because of unbelief, because of not trusting God, you don't fall away. The slide, the drop, losing your grip on the living God. And you see, that's what we're talking about when we talk about hardening your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hardening your heart is the exact same thing as unbelief. Because hardening your heart is saying no to God. When God invites you to come to him, you say no. That's hardening your heart. When God invites you to believe his word, you say no. That's hardening your heart. When God invites you to give yourself to him and you say, no, I'm not done with fun. Yeah, that's hardening your heart. When God says, walk away from that compelling temptation, and you say, no, I'm going to play. Going to play with it. That's hardening your heart. When God says, sever that relationship that will turn you away from God, and you say, no, another day, another week, another month. That's hardening your heart. That's saying no to God. When God says, stop going there, you will sin if you go there. And you say, no, I just want to go one more time. And then I'm going to stop. That's saying no. That's hardening your heart. When God says, you need to discontinue this habit that has enslaved you for far too long, and you say, no, I don't want to start down the path of obedience. It's too hard. The fight's too long. That's saying no to God. And it's hardening your heart. When God says, get serious about God. Get serious about me. Stop playing around at religion. And you say, no. That's hardening your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So the question is very simple. How will you respond to God? God is speaking. What is he saying to you? And how will you respond to his voice? This verse is a message of opportunity. This verse is a message of responsibility. And finally, this verse is a message of urgency today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. David says, today, if you hear his voice. The writer of Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice. The Holy Spirit says to you, today, if you hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts. Is God speaking to you today? What is he saying? What is he calling you to do? Whatever it is, he's calling you to believe today, to do today, to act today, to obey today, to come to him today. A message of great urgency. Yesterday is gone. Were you a good boy yesterday? Seeking God, living obediently, at peace with God. Yesterday is gone. It's history. Doesn't matter. Today is what matters. Or were you a horrible sinner yesterday? And did you fall grievously and egregiously yesterday? And God now calls you to come out of the darkness to Him? Is your yesterday full of guilt and chaos and confusion of sin? That was yesterday. Don't be stuck in yesterday. Live in today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow? Tomorrow is uncertain. Mañana, you want to change. Mañana, you want to get your life together. Mañana, you want to repent and turn to God and come to Jesus Christ. Frankly, neither you nor I know if you have tomorrow. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Tomorrow is uncertain. But more importantly, I don't know if God will still be speaking to you tomorrow, today, if you hear His voice. And I don't know if you'll be still listening to God tomorrow. When men harden their hearts while God is speaking to them, at a certain point, God stops speaking. He gives them a heart so that hearing they may not understand. He shuts the eyes of their hearts so they can no longer see the truth. That's what happened with Pharaoh. After each plague, Moses would come and say, "Have you had enough punishment from God on your land yet? Let my people go so that they may serve me." Pharaoh said no to God and hardened his heart. And he did it again and again. And at a certain point, he didn't have to harden his heart anymore. God hardened his heart for him. God took it right out of Pharaoh's control. It was no longer his choice. His heart was hardened, something done to him, because he'd gone down the path beyond the point of no return. Today, if you hear his voice. Proverbs 29:1, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. Don't plan to repent, to turn from your sin, to come to God tomorrow. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. You have every reason to. God's promises are rich and overflowing. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you cleansing. He offers you a new start. He offers you the power of His Spirit. He offers you restoration to the living God. He offers you His Son who has given Himself for you, taking your sins away, giving you everything you don't have, giving you all the power you could never dream up, bringing you into communion with God by His right and power in His life and His death and His resurrection. Everything you need in Jesus if you will come to Him today. Today is the day. Today, if you hear His voice. This afternoon, before lunch, before you leave your seats in this room, this is a message of urgency. Today you are alive. Today God is speaking. Today you hear Him. Today your heart is soft. Today the Spirit is speaking to you. Today. Let's pray.